everybody, and welcome to episode 64 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, joined by Mashi Scanlon. As always, Mashi, welcome.
How's it going, Gabby?
Good. I'm excited for this special, slightly early episode because we've got some exciting news. Hooray!
This is exciting for me. I've never had previews before. You have had previews. I haven't had the opportunity to have previews. So it's like the first time ever in the history of like whatever Magic TV, Magic FM, whatever, first time I've ever gotten previews. So it's very exciting.
I think that, well, that's that. There you go. That is why we are a little early this week. Normally we would have published this Friday.
This Friday.
But we got some previews from Wizards of the Coast for Time Spiral Remastered. Yay! Do some air horns. There you go.
Wait, I think I have like...
Oh my god! Perfect. I had some air horns on my side, so now we just have air horns everywhere. It was just like...
Oh, air. You did too? Yeah. this is our box break. This is one of our box break sound effects.
And it's so just like, an air horn sound? Yeah.
It's just a button in you.
That's really funny. All right. Well, we had air horns, mini air horns to celebrate. But yeah, we got some Time Spiral Remastered preview cards, and I wanted to let Mashi do the honor of presenting those. But yeah, before we get into the actual episode, how are you doing, Mashi? It's been a month since we talked. Is life good? Yeah,
things are good. I had a week off, totally unplugged. Like, you know, was like looking at my email to make sure nothing important happened, looking at my Slack to make sure nothing important was going on, but really not engaging, not thinking about anything. It was kind of a staycation. Like, I was down at my father-in-law's place. We stayed at a really nice hotel for a few nights in LA, the Chateau Marmont, because we stayed there on our wedding. It was my 5-year anniversary with my wife, Elaine. And we stayed there on our wedding night. So we went there for a few nights, but it was super chill. And I will say this, I learned something, Gabby. I learned something. And that's the power of having Arena on your phone. Because I wanted to play a lot of Magic, and I played a little bit. I drafted a bit, but I downloaded Ascension.
Oh.
And I can play that on my phone. And I have been playing hours of this. I learned how to play Ascension on like Tuesday, and I've played probably 2-3 dozen games since.
That's
then,
really cool. I like Ascension a lot. I played a lot when it was years ago, and I played the paper version of the game. I didn't realize that there was a mobile client for it. That's cool.
Yeah. And you can play offline. You know, the AI is not, it's fine. It's not great. It's fine, but it's fun. And I mean, I was thinking, this is crazy. It's so much more convenient. It's so much easier. This is where Arena needs to be. And I think they're just going to get way more players once they get it on iOS.
I'm honestly jealous that I can't play Arena on my phone. I had, what was it? It was during the Arena Open, the one that was last week. And I did two runs. One that was like a 2-2 deck that I dropped with because it was like that bad. It was like, this is not even worth playing it out. And then I had a 6-3 run with a deck that was like pretty decent, and I got mana screwed in the last game to lose, so I was kind of itching to like get back at it. But I can only play on my big computer, my desktop computer, and it was already kind of late at night, and I just kind of wanted to tuck in, and that just meant that I didn't play anymore when I could have, you know. If I had it on my phone, I would have 100% just like joined more games, but I can't right now because we don't have it available on iOS. So I totally feel that. Like, I've played a lot more Hearthstone Battlegrounds because it's available on phone than I would have otherwise.
I mean, just the random times, like, you know, hey, I'm waiting for this. I'm out waiting for this, or I'm out doing this, and I've got 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Let me, you know, play a game or play. That's literally what was going on. So
yeah.
It's crazy.
I remember doing that when we were still traveling. I mean, this is like over a year ago at this point, but just being like, huh, I have internet connection and I have like 10 minutes before I'm supposed to arrive at the airport. I can jam a game.
Yeah. Oh my God. You want to hear about a dagger? This one got me right in the feels, Gabby. I took a week off, and so I had to change my away message on Google. And I don't know how often you use Gmail, but when you do that, you have a vacation responder, and it has your prior one.
Your prior
you wipe
message,
it out.
Yeah.
And it's like, I will be out of the office from January blank to January blank, traveling to PT Magic Fest Berlin and Phoenix. You know, I will have intermittent access to email while I'm traveling. You know, for any questions, to email Jessica. And I was just like, it has been,
you're like, it's been so long since I set my vacation responder. That's so
right.
Funny.
It was for, not Berlin, Belgium, sorry. Belgium and Phoenix.
And Phoenix. I was just like, I mean, to tell you an experience that was very similar, I did coverage of the CFB Pro Showdown for January. And, you know, I don't really play that much standard, right? So I was like, I'm going to do the gauntlet. I'm going to play all the decks that are out there because I want to have an idea of, like, what standard looks like. So it was good. Like, I did some good prep. And in doing so, I saw that I needed an update because I was playing with standard decks on my stream. I needed to update the stream decker to host, like, the current videos or the current decks, excuse me. And it had a list of the last time I had played standard, and it was a year ago.
Oh my god!
It was like Jeskai Fires back when Jeskai, like when Fires of Invention was still legal.
Yeah, like Luka Fires. Oh my god!
Gabby, I was like, wow, this was so many bands ago.
So you played a bunch of standard. Couldn't you help Luis out?
Oh my god, dude, it was so bad. You know their team, the people who played the Naya deck. This is for the league weekend that just happened. The people who played Naya won like 62% of the matches. The people who played Ren didn't win a game. They just didn't win a game. Martin had such a funny tweet about it today. Did you see it?
He improved it, yeah.
He was like, okay, you guys, I did an update for Monored for anyone who's interested for CFB Pro. Here's the deck list, and this is what I would update it to after playing this weekend. And he just changed every card into a Naya.
It was Naya.
Mid-range deck.
What, I mean, what do you...
Martin didn't win a game.
What did you think of his tweet about, hey, I should be able to drop?
I think it's interesting that they make them stream the whole thing. Because, you know, Luis also did pretty terribly. Matt Nass, who was not in Luis's testy team, but he also did really bad. He played mono white. And we have a group chat here with our friends in Denver. And literally every hour was like, I lost, I also lost. And it was just like the most depressing chat ever. And they were actually talking about it. And they're like, hey, at some point when I'm like 2x, I don't want to stream it anymore. I just want to drop. And it's pretty demoralizing the fact that I don't get to. And I get that the way they have league weekend structured, they can't really do that. But man, I have been in spots where I was like, I am so done with this tournament. All I want to do is just be done. Like, I can't believe they're forcing me to play this. It's like one of the worst feels ever.
It's interesting because, you know, we spent a lot of time in this community, and we spent a lot of time, I think very rightfully, on this show talking about kind of the mental health. Mm-hmm. And your relationship with gameplay, not you, Gabby, but one's relationship with gameplay, one's relationship with competition and things. And I kind of chuckled because I know Martin, and I think it is a little different for like your Matt Nass's, Luis Scott Vargas's, and Martin Hughes's world. These guys are pros, okay? And so I think they take a mental beating, but they're also professional players who can do this. But it just calls to mind, like, that is so mentally taxing, especially when you go winless and we've all been there. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I've sleeved up a deck and I've been on a losing streak where I just sit there, I look down, I go, it doesn't matter. I can't win a game. I just can't.
And then at some point, it doesn't even, you're also playing so bad because you just got to this point where you're like, get me out of here. I'm just done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I totally feel that. So rough league weekend for a lot of our friends, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, for two of my closest friends, it was like Luis was in the pits and Huey was killing it.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel so weird right now.
I don't know. I feel so bad, especially because Luis had a chance to play that Naya deck, but like he liked Red when he tested it. I mean, I saw him test for this thing. He tested a lot. So sometimes you just get it wrong.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. So
for sure. All righty. I'm going to rein us back in since we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. And
we had to
do a little check-in since we haven't
checked
in with folks in like a month or so.
Yeah.
So before we do the previews, I did want to do a shout out for the sponsor of the podcast, channelfireball.com. We have shouted this out before, but it's really cool. We're still doing this and we're doing a ton of it. It's box breaks. If you've never seen it before, it's a super fun way for you to open cards with your friends. The boxes get split up into groups. So you could, if you're doing like a magic box, for example, you could end up in like the black cards or the red cards and stuff like that. And it's usually like really cool product that's being opened too. So it'll be like collector's boosters or set boosters, you know, the stuff that's more likely to have like the cool, like borderless foil or like extended frame cards, all the showcases versions for like Zendikar Rising, for Kaldheim that are alternate art and look awesome. And you get basically randomly sorted into one of those groups and then you get all the cards in that group. And if there's things like invocations, those also get raffled out at the end. So you could end up with like a really cool Celestial Colonnade or something like that if you're doing fetches and, for I mean, Zendikar.
Crazy things happen. We had.
Yeah,
we
I actually have some from a Zendikar set that I was here. Look at how cool. These are just all going to go in my cube. Not the Nahiri, but like these two will be. For the people who are just listening to this, it's a Nomnath, a Lotus Cobra.
Showcase Lotus Cobra.
They're both showcase. They're super cool.
Is that our showcase Nomnath too?
Yeah, it's both of them. Woo!
We did have someone just through luck of the draw because it's all random. And he's a regular. I guess I won't shout him out. And he got extremely lucky. He's great. He hangs out even if he's not in the breaks, but he's in breaks like basically every night. And he just kind of won the Kaldheim lottery 3 times in a row, got green. And that night we opened 8 Vorinclex.
What?
So he ended up with 8 Vorinclexes. 2 of them were Phyrexian foil. 2 of them were Phyrexian non-foil. It was
so
insane.
Cool.
It was the craziest thing. I was like, I cannot believe through 3 box breaks, you end up with 2 play sets of Vorinclex.
That's so cool.
2 of them are Phyrexian foil. So crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, I ended up in one Kaldheim green break, but there was no Vorinclexes in that one. But you know what there was? There was an actual Vorinclex from the list because the set boosters have that
OG Vorinclex.
Yeah, so I got OG Vorinclex, which was like, okay, well, this is not the Vorinclex I wanted, but this is really cool.
it's interesting. Now that I'm drafting more, because when you do the box breaks, I do them. In fact, this is where we do the breaks. I'm at the break studio. And I just know the card names. I don't know what any of the cards do, but I finally started drafting Kaldheim. I'm like, oh, that's what this card does. That's what this card does. So just real quick, have you drafted, like, it feels a lot like cube draft in a lot of ways because of the snow deck. How do you feel about Kaldheim draft?
I like it a lot, just like as a super, like, you know, diluted version of the set. I like it a lot. It is a complicated set. It has a lot of depth, but I like sets like that. I have heard complaints from people who like don't like sets like that. I personally am a big fan.
It's definitely, I normally, I kind of need like 10, I don't know if that's higher, 10, 15 drafts, 10-ish, hope closer to 15 to really be just like comfortable. Like, I get it. I feel good about this. That doesn't mean I'm winning all the time. It just means I think I understand it. And I'm about 6 drafts in right now. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm still pretty unsure when I should audible out of snow, when I you know, but it's been, I've
yeah, enjoyed. Yeah, I can see that. This set definitely has a lot more depth and is a little more complicated, especially because any set that has 5 colors and a lot of duels available at common kind of lends itself to that. But I think the set's awesome. I think you're going to like it the more you draft it.
I really enjoy it. I really, really do enjoy it. So.
Alrighty. By the way, remember if you do buy any box breaks, you should use the code MAGICAHEM. That helps support this podcast. Alrighty.
Yes, do
I
that.
Am gonna let Mashi do the honors today and let you all know about the 3 preview cards we got from Wizards. Thank you, Wizards, for the free preview. Hashtag sponsored or hashtag free
thank
preview.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much, Wizards. Shout out to Blake. Blake has he's out on leave right now, but he does a lot of this stuff for Wizards, and he had twins, so congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Best wishes. Blake had twins. And so, Blake picked these cards specifically for Mashi. So sweet.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to shout him out. I'm like, you were clearly thinking of me. Now, I will say this. We have 3 cards. A lot of people may say, hey, Mosh, you have 3 land destruction cards. I only categorize 2 of these as LD cards. One of them is kind of on the fringes. So right off the bat, the first one, it's the old border. So one of the things they're doing right with Time Spiral Remastered is they're bringing cards that have only been available in new border. And they're kind of like in that wonky time shifted way. They're printing them with old border, the old border, which boomers like me love. I think it's amazing.
I think they look incredible. I think it's also a cool way to pay homage to what happened in Time Spiral in the first place, because they had that sheet with the cool borders.
Yeah.
Like it was Future Sight, I think, that did that.
And I think it's this. The first card is like one of my favorite cards of all time. Molten Rain, 2 red, 1 other. It's a sorcery. Destroy target land. If that land was non-basic, Molten Rain deals 2 damage to the land's controller. And it's just like a Stone Rain with extra. It's like, oh, you want to get fancy with me, especially in the modern era of Magic. Like there were times, right, where people didn't play a lot of non-basics. Now I feel like you're always playing non-basics.
Yeah.
Always.
You're almost always going to hit the +2 on this one.
Right. And because like even mono red is going to have some non-basics in it. Right. But I even if you don't get the non-basic, you still get to blow up a land.
Right.
So it's just like a stone ruin with bonus. I love it.
You get to blow it up with a cool old border. It looks so cool. I think the old border thing is amazing. I was super happy they did that.
It looks awesome. And I love Molten Rain's art too. It is very evocative of like Stone Rain, kind of the original red LD spell. So I'm super excited about this. And the two damage is such a great bonus when you're playing land destruction or just aggro red. If you just want to play aggro red and want to be able to disrupt your opponent, you can drop that in there, still get 2 points of damage straight to the dome, and hopefully be that speed bump to your opponent that gives you the edge and lets you beat them before they can stabilize. So love, love, love Molten Rain. Similarly, we get a return, and I don't know if the whole cycle's in. I haven't been paying attention to all the previews, but we have a return of the Magus of the Moon. So the Magus cycle, right, in OG Time Spiral, they brought back all these wizards that had different classic magic spell effects. Magus of the Moon is back. It's one red, two other. It's a blood moon. It's a blood moon creature. One red, two other for a 2/2. Non-basic lands are mountains. And, you know, land destruction is kind of fundamentally about resource deprivation, mana resource deprivation. And in the right matchup, that's exactly what Magus does, right? It turns, if your opponent is playing mono non-basics and they're not playing red, that's like a home run. You've totally locked them out of their mana. And then they don't have outs. Like, how are they going to kill the 2/2 if they don't have mana they can cast removal with?
Yeah, I don't know if all the Maguses are going to be in here because, I mean, we're recording this on Monday. There's only been one day's worth of previews for Time Spiral Remaster, but these cards are really cool because it's basically you get the effect of the spell. You do get it on a stick, like it's on a creature, which makes it a little more fragile than normal. But it also means that you do have a creature that can attack. So you can get it, start getting in for damage while you're trying to color screw your opponent.
Yeah, you have a pseudo victory condition, although 2/2. Not. I mean, yeah. If they're color screwed long enough, it'll get there. Yeah. You know, but and then our final one, it was the one I was kind of like, is a little LD adjacent. It's Boom Bust. And it's kind of funny. Boom Bust is back. Valky just changed the rules of Magic. And then, of course, we had to change how Boom Bust interacts with Cascade back in the day. But Boom Bust, I'm sure most people remember that one. It's Boom is one red, one other. Destroy target land you control and target land you don't control. And the Bust side, one red, five. Destroy all lands. So way back in the day, there was a card called Raze. Do you remember? You probably don't remember Raze. Urza's.
I know of this card.
Okay, it's the same thing as Boom. It's basically it's one red, one red, sack a land, destroy target land, which was great when you needed to stop an early Tolarian Academy. I'm showing my age. This is an Urza's Block thing you did, right?
Don't date yourself, Mushy.
Yeah, you can't let them stabilize their Tolarian Academy. That's not as big a thing anymore. And that was one red and then seemed okay. Two red, I blow up a land to blow up your land. If it's the right land, obviously it's a good deal. It's only two mana. Bust, though, is getting. And as an LD player, I'm not trying to blow up my own lands. I'm trying to blow up your lands and still move my game plan along. So I always thought like the Geddon effects, like the Boom effects, they're not really kind of, look, Armageddon, blowing up all the lands can seal the game for you, no question. But, you know, it always felt like that wasn't quite a control move. That was just the, hey, I'm ahead on board. I'm going to blow everything up.
And yeah, so, that is how it works in like Cube a lot. You play the most common decks for you to get Armageddon into would be something like a White Weenie deck where you go like one drop, two drop, three drop, Geddon. And your opponent probably went like tap land, fetch land, artifact. And then they're like, okay, well, I lose now.
Yeah, it's game over. I can't stabilize the time.
Yeah.
But it's great to see all these cards back. Obviously, land destruction is a strategy that I love. I haven't played in years because it hasn't really been super viable. There've been some modern Gruul variants that have been really, really good. But I mean, I haven't played Monarch in over a year.
Right.
So I am excited to see all this back. And I know they just announced, right? This is all coming to Modo?
It is. So there's going to be regular Time Spiral Draft. There's also going to be Supreme Draft, which, I mean, I think we have said our piece on Supreme Draft, but whatever, it's coming to.
For those of you who don't, this is why you need to watch the video, because you can just see Gabby being like, Supreme Draft? For those of you who listened, you already know we've said our piece. Immediately you said it, I was like,
yeah, oh. I mean, we really have said our piece on Supreme Draft. But yeah, it is coming for regular Modo. It's coming for Supreme Draft. And And I honestly, one of the things that I wanted to shout out about this set, which I thought was really cool, is that this is a way to, this is something that they're doing for enfranchised players. I think a lot of times people are complaining like, oh, all this stuff they're doing is because they want to appeal to the like brand new Magic player. All these changes that they do to Magic Arena, they're all to appeal to the wider audience. And this is a product that actually was made specifically for like the Magic boomers, making the old borders a set that is beloved and it's relatively old. This is not aimed at the widest possible audience, and I think it's like that's something I think that's something to celebrate. I think it's really cool that this is a thing that they made specifically for to get people like us excited about it, Mashi.
Not speak for yourself, Gabby. I play on Arena. Remember, I'm a boomer, which means I'm technologically unsavvy. I'm scared to update my Magic Online account. It's been like two or three versions, and so now I'm like, if I go on there, what's going
like,
to happen?
Will I even remember how to cast a spell? Who knows?
Yeah, Arena is super easy. I love that they're doing this. This is such a great thing, and I know like seeing it's a weird mix seeing the Molten Rain because we have the image right, and where you look at a card like that for me, and I go something looks kind of off about it, but then something looks kind of right about it. You know, yeah, it's like this weird mix of both.
I actually like the old borders a little bit better than the new borders. I don't know if that's like a hot take or whatever, but
I 1000% do.
I think they look super cool. Like I was looking at Treasure Cruise and it was an old border and I was like, damn, that looks slick AF.
Yeah. I mean, what really gets me is I this must be nostalgia because I think the silver bordering for artifacts makes sense, but I just brown border artifact, like the brown, you know, framing just looks like an artifact to me. That's just what artifacts are to me. And so
I totally agree with that.
Seeing that is amazing for me.
You know, I did a blog post for Ultimate Guard for Team CFB Ultimate Guard. Mm-hmm. And in my blog post, I was talking about how we used to do these paint nights where we used to grab old cards and we'd all like do our version and paint it and then put it on Twitter and have people vote on them, which you don't have to do. We just did that because we're all like competitive Magic players or whatever. But but we were doing that. And, you know, we always went for the old art because we all liked it so much more. We just felt like it was iconic. It was recognizable. Honestly, it was also like easier to draw because you take a look at some of the latest cards and it's like, this is a digital painting that looks like a real person. I can't draw that, but you know what I can draw? Yeah. I can draw Disenchant.
Crystal Rod, Disenchant, sure.
I'm Lightning Bolt, that's one of the ones, Birds of Paradise. I'm like, these are definitely in our wheelhouse. Like we can actually try to recreate these, but we couldn't recreate, I don't know, like Magus of the Moon. Mm-hmm. Like that just would not really
work. How about Chandra Awakened Inferno?
I could make her look like a little stick figure, like with little like fire coming out of her hands.
You could do Urza with this army behind him, you know.
I agree with you on the old art, old frames. I think that stuff is just like such an iconic part of Magic. I love it.
I agree. And I mean, I also agree with what you're saying. Like this set is clearly like a fan service set. It's something that, you know, for old school fans, I mean, it's weird saying Time Spiral is old school, but at this point it is. The only thing I lament is it's not coming to Arena. I wish it was. I would draft the heck out of it.
So. Yeah. Maybe this will finally get you to download Modo and update it. We'll see.
This depends on how good
Call
Time
draft. Look if that happens.
If I get sick of Call Time, it almost 100% will happen. But I don't see myself getting sick of Call Time, mainly because I keep losing at it. And so I'm like, no.
Gotta keep trying.
I like it.
Well, that's going to do it for our Time Spiral Remastered previews. Thank you again to Wizards for giving us our very first previews. Yeah!
That's awesome. Thank you, Blake. Thank you, Wizards.
I know. So sweet. It was so sweet. There were a bunch of other news, actually. This week was like a really big news announcement week. And let me just kind of tell people what the update was, and then we can talk about, you know, how did people take this? What do we think? That sort of thing. So
perfect.
There were two huge announcements. Let's go over the first one. That's called Magic's Voyages to Universes Beyond. And if you didn't see this, it was announced on the Wizards website, though actually it also went out in a ton of press releases and stuff. And I'll make sure to link that in the show notes if you want to check it out. But they basically announced that there's going to be Warhammer 40K and Lords of the Rings as these like new kind of sets that are going to exist within the Magic universe, even though they're not necessarily standard legal. Like they're just going to like for Warhammer 40K, there's going to be commander decks that are made for them. And we don't really know what Lords of the Rings is going to look like. So basically what was announced is that Universes Beyond is going to be a brand inside of Magic that exists alongside the other lines of product, which include the standard sets, like the Modern Horizons, the stuff that they make for Arena. It's just an independent brand within Wizards. And their idea is, and this is a quote from them, if we can expand our story beyond the game system, the game system to things like comics, novels, and other games, then surely we can expand the game system to let players explore worlds outside of worlds in Magic. So this is not necessarily that they're all going to be like secret lairs, but more like these are going to be playable ways of playing in these like huge IPs, as mentioned, Warhammer 40K, Lord of the Rings, one of the biggest IPs, period. You know? Sure. And yeah, the stuff's not going to be standard legal. It's just like, and a thing that's happening in addition to all the other stuff they're doing. Like they really try to stress that this isn't coming at the expense of getting a fourth set. So that was a big announcement, and it's a big announcement. Yeah.
It is huge. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
So preliminary thoughts, Mashi. I want to hear what, because people in either direction had a lot of feelings. What did you think?
I love it. You know, before we went live, I was talking about my buddy Graham and I, we grew up playing Magic together. We were regulars at Superstars, 4-Channel Fireball. This was like circa 1995, 96, when I was sophomore, junior in high school. We actually designed through middle school, through high school, and even in college, we were still doing this a bit. I wish I still had them, and I bet you Graham still does. We made like a Luke Skywalker Magic card, Darth Vader Magic card, because we were really into Star Wars. I think he loved, like, for instance, he loved Evil Dead, so he had like Ash, the main character from.
Yeah.
We designed our own Magic cards. They were almost always Legends, you know, and we did this, and it was amazing. And look, the number of times I've thought like, why is Star Wars going to decipher? And then when I think Wizards got it back for Young Jedi, I'm like, Wizards of the Coast, what are you doing? Just make a Star Wars Magic set.
Yeah.
Even if it's not compatible, just do it. You have the best game ever made. I love Magic. It's my favorite game, right? You have the best game ever made. Just plug popular IPs into it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a great way to get new players. You know, doing Lord of the Rings, which there's already obvious crossover there. I think there's supposed to be like an LOTR universe series on Amazon Prime soon. Like you just see like the opportunities to really grow the player base. And why not? If they're using the system that's Magic, that's the same one that's hooked me and hooked you and hooked everyone listening to this podcast, why not introduce that to fans of other IPs and have them join our community? It's such a no-brainer to me. I'm at a loss to figure why people would be against it, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very similarly to you. When I saw this announcement, it was like, oh, duh. Yeah, obviously, why weren't they doing this already? It was almost like a, huh, how did it take this long to start doing this? It just makes so much sense. Obviously, the community didn't really take it like that. There were a lot of people who had objections to it. So among the things that people objected to, some people thought that this felt like selling out. And I mean, I get it. Like, I get why you think this sounds like selling out. But basically what you said is this one of the same things that the Wizard said in their announcement. And it was that, hey, what if we get people from outside of Magic to engage with Magic by engaging with an IP they really love? And guess what? Maybe they play Magic, they realize they love it, and now like we've brought into our Magic community, and now they're a Magic player, right? It can even happen the other way around. Like maybe some people like end up playing Warhammer 40K Magic set, and then they get interested in playing the game. It just seems like a no-brainer for both IPs.
Totally, totally.
Right.
I think it's a win-win, and I mean, they can incorporate these things, you know. Gandalf fights the Balrog. He's Gandalf the Grey. His spark ignites. He comes back. He's Gandalf the White. Have at it. Like,
Flip Walker or something like that. There's just so much you can explore with them. So I get why people think it's selling out, but it's also just like, it makes so much sense. And like, what is selling out anyway? Like, it just doesn't even really, this one to me feels like Swiss cheese. I don't really understand this argument at all. Some people had issues with like, they don't want these things to live in the same like canonical world, and that I understand a little bit more. Some people were really aggressive and they were like, we're gonna preemptively ban all these cards in our commander playgroup, but it's just like, you haters, you haven't even seen the cards.
Yeah. I mean, it is a weird thing. Like, would this be a problem if would people care at all about this? If they were like, hey, we're partnering with, you know, the Tolkien estate, and very similar to Ikoria, there are going to be Lord of the Rings versions of Magic cards in upcoming set X. Like, I don't think none of those cards would get banned. No one would have an issue, right? Like, it's not a secret lair. It's just an alternate, like, because I don't think anyone has an issue with the Godzilla cards in Ikoria, do they?
No.
I missed it if they did.
Some people thought that they looked like not Magic cards, but you just don't have to choose to play with them. Like, you can play with, like, Broodmoth, Luminarch Broodmoth, or whatever it's called, or you can play with,
Mothra.
Yeah, Mothra. So, yeah. Like, but it's the same card. Like, they do the same thing.
Right. And so if it was something like that, I don't think anyone would care. But I don't know. I think this is awesome. I think this is it's such a great thing for me. It's hard for me, and I'm in love with it because I'm already seeing, like, boy, if they got like the Disney to work with Disney and did this for Star Wars, I would be
excited. And that's another thing which kind of bothers me about people's reaction, because people's reaction was overly, like, pretty negative. It's just like, you know, it's okay for you to look at a product and say, maybe I'm not the target audience for this, and live and let live. Just, yeah. You know, I am not the intended audience for this. Let's let the people who like, you know, Warhammer 40K. I don't know anything about Warhammer 40K. I don't play it. I'm not going to play anything Magic related about Warhammer 40K. And that's fine. I can just look at the product and be like, hey, it's okay that I'm not going to engage with this.
Sure.
Good stuff for the people who like this, right? You can just... like, those two things are compatible. You can just let it go.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I understand is, like, it is, like, I'm excited about it. And I actually am not really excited about the Warhammer stuff. I don't play Commander. I don't play Warhammer. I am not a big fan of Lord of the Rings. So I'm not super excited about that. I'm already thinking, like, look, they already have Transformers.
All the stuff that's going to happen because of it. Like, when is Star Wars coming? That sort of thing.
Star Wars is the one that... But, I mean, Transformers has to be in there, right? I mean, it's Hasbro.
It's Hasbro.
G.I. Joe.
So they specifically said that they want to use Universes Beyond to explore brands or IPs that are not made within the Hasbro world.
Oh. Star Wars it is then.
They did say that specifically. I mean, they might do something with Transformers, but it might not end up in there because they wanted to do this for specifically non-Hasbro IPs. Hmm.
What do you think is next then?
I would love Star Wars. I think that'd be so cool.
That'd be insane.
Wouldn't that be so sweet? I did. I did tweet this out. This was the one thing that I did think was like a little weird about the whole thing. I said, I think the new Lord of the Rings set sounds exciting, but there is something a little strange about mixing a bunch of different IPs together.
Oh, I saw this.
Quote, I equip Gandalf with Lucille, attack all, make a walker token, unquote. Quote, all right, I'll block Rick with my beholder, take 8.
Yeah, it is weird, only because we know them, right? Like, if instead of Rick, it's Krovax, you know, if instead of Lucille, it's Umezawa's Jite, we have zero problem.
Right,
We don't care if we're writing the story somehow. I mean, Transformers is interesting because the Plane of Mirrodin feels like Cybertron.
A little bit like that. Yeah, it has the same vibes. So,
just like, okay, what about Harry Potter? Well, Strixhaven, boy, when I look at it, it's like, is that different if all of a sudden instead of Strixhaven, it's called Hogwarts? Now, I know that for various reasons with J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter is a sensitive subject. But what I'm saying is, you know, there's a way where if we want it to feel different if somehow the IP originated in Renton. But is that really like a huge difference? Is Strixhaven just Hogwarts? Is Mirrodin just Cybertron? And is that just okay?
I think I kind of get what people are saying, though, because it is weird that these, you know, canon in IPs is like a big thing, right?
That's true.
You know, like there's a ton of shows where there's movies that aren't canonical, and like people will always defend stuff that happens in the movies because it was justified there, but that's not canonical. So it's not part of the universe. So once you start putting all the stuff within the Magic universe, it's like, wait, where is the multiverse happening that there's also Transformers happening in some other place? And then there's also Harry Potter happening in some other place, you know?
But I mean, doesn't it all work in their framework of like, that's just a different plane, Gabby. It's just a different plane. That's the whole beauty of the multiverse, right?
The Earth is not a plane in Magic. Like, there's no Earth. And all these things, like, it's weird for me to think about Transformers happening in the same world where there's, like, mages. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
That, well, I mean, but Mirrodin, I guess, Mirrodin. Mirrodin, they still had, like, Koth and, I mean,
like, what if Star Wars were in there, too? What are, people aren't planeswalking. They're just taking, you know, X-Wings from plane to plane.
I guess that's interplanetary travel within the magic framework does feel weird.
It's a little weird, right? Otherwise, what's the point of planeswalking? Luis had a really funny tweet about this. It was a banned and restricted announcement January 2022, which wouldn't actually happen because these cards aren't standard legal, but the tweet's really fantastic. In the interest of competitive diversity, the following cards are banned from standard. Gandalf the White, Samwise Ganji's Backpack, the one orc who says that meat's back on the menu.
Yeah, meat's back on the menu.
Additionally, right. We'll be keeping a close eye on Pippin. Which might happen in Commander. Like, that is what the announcements might look like in Commander.
It's true. Any of that stuff can happen. But, I mean, I just think it's all to the better. It's all to the better. I don't see the downside. And I'm excited about it. Like I said, and I'm not even excited about this release. I just love this direction for Wizards. I love this direction for Magic. I just see it being an amazing move for the game and for our community, for this audience and our community.
Yeah, I'm stoked for it too. I did think there was something really funny that was part of their announcement. And it's they were addressing where does Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, the D&D set that's happening this summer, where does that fall into these universes? Because they're like, hey, you're putting Universes Beyond as like things that aren't necessarily in like the magic world, but are things that are going to be magic products. Where does Adventures in the Forgotten Realms fall? Because, I mean, we talked about how the name isn't great, but the Forgotten Realms is like where the D&D stuff happens. Like, that's the name for all the like planes that exist there. And they said that, quote, as to whether the Forgotten Realms are now canonically part of Magic's multiverse, for now the answer is no. But we may change our minds in the future if it makes sense and is a net positive for Magic and D&D. So they're still saying, like, even though there's going to be a D&D set, this isn't actually happening in, like, the world of Magic the Gathering.
I mean, I think there's a way that we all accepted Adventures in the Forgotten Realms as being okay. I don't think they needed to do that. I don't think this needed to be. I think it could have been canonically part of Magic.
Yeah, I guess then you get into a weird spot where it's like, well, what happens to all the very, because D&D is full of really iconic characters. Like, I know you don't play Mashi, but like even when you're casting specifically for Wizards, the names of a lot of spells are named after like really famous magic wizards that live or used to live in the Forgotten Realms, like Tensor's Floating Disc and Maximilian's Earthen Grasp and things like that. So once you're like looking at that stuff and it's like, huh, there's like all these really iconic people that live in this world that are not remotely part of the multiverse because we never explore that. So I can kind of see keeping it separate. I just thought it was interesting that they added this.
I mean, but they could also explore those characters in future sets, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we never had a Nevin Real until Commander Legends, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Tetsuo Umezawa, right? We didn't have that character. We had Tetsuo before we had the Jitei, and then I forgot which. We had one in Legends, and then we had the Jitei, and then we had another one that, in a later set. So, you know, it can all work out if, I don't know. I don't want to take it too seriously. I just think there's a way we can all make it work out.
I think it would be pretty cool if suddenly, a big part of Magic became locations and places and things that happen in D&D. I think that would be amazing. They'd probably have to do more D&D. They'd probably have to do more D&D sets for them to properly explore all this, because there's just like, I mean, D&D is basically a lot of lore exploration. Like, a lot of the campaigns that you play, if you play a pre-built campaign, is exploring something that Wizards wrote about the story of this world, right? And then your way of solving it. So,
but there's room for that. And I think they're going to do these instead of core sets. So we're going to have them every year.
That would be really cool. That'd be really sweet. So that was it for the announcement of Magic's Voyages to Universes Beyond. But that came with like, another really large announcement, and this was that Hasbro is going through a reorganization and that Wizards is going to become its own division. This is a big announcement, because currently Wizards of the Coast is a subsidiary of Hasbro. But in this last year, they basically saw a really big boon between Dungeons and Dragons and Magic specifically. They saw, hold on, I have some figures here. The publisher, Wizards of the Coast LLC, posted revenue of $816 million last year, up from 24% from 2019. Just wild. Fueled by what Hasbro says were record years for the two brands. You know, not surprised at all about D&D. We are living in times of quarantine, and guess what's going to pop off when people are playing are in quarantine? Yeah. They're going to get their D&D groups together and go on adventures.
And Stranger Things, I think, has helped a lot of that. Like, really, really revitalize interest in that game. So, I mean, 24%? 24% is the big part, right? Like, whatever the top end number is, that you know, however big that gets, it's that amount of growth is insane. Growing by 24% year over year.
Yes, that's just not a sustainable number to be sure, but like that's even just, you're just having such a big boon if you're seeing that. So because of that, Wizards took a look at it and said, hey, why don't we do a reorganization and like properly prioritize stuff? It's basically like we're going to upgrade Wizards of the Coast because they're crushing it. So they are now reorging into three different categories within Hasbro. Three different units. The first one is going to be consumer products, which will encompass toys like Transformers, action figures, classic board games like Monopoly. Like, that's one of the big things that Hasbro is known for. The second unit is entertainment, which is dedicated to licensing, distribution, and production of film, television content. So that will include things like the Transformers show, My Little Pony, those sorts of things. And then number three is Wizards and Digital, which will house the assets of Wizards of the Coast, so D&D and Magic, and focus on expanding the existing games, creating new ones, and overseeing digital licensing for the entire business. So this is like, it's a big game, Ashi. This is a really big change for Wizards, specifically with how they will operate within Hasbro.
I'm worried about it because one of the things we're seeing... for everyone listening, sorry, we're having a little bit of work done, and I'm at the Game Center. So one of the things we're seeing, I think, progressively, as this community grows, right, as kind of our Magic community grows, as Wizard grows, is Wizards is becoming more corporate. And this does feel like such a huge move in that direction.
Yeah, it's... I also have my... Basically, I think this is a really cool opportunity. And I also worry, like, is this going to make things worse? Like... Clearly, things work out when Wizards was doing the thing they were doing as a subsidiary. I know a lot of the relationship that they had with Hasbro was a lot of times they were like, hey, these guys know what they're doing. We're going to, you know, let them do their thing. But this is going to put Wizards front and center in charge of digital licensing and creating digital stuff. Like, one of the things they talked about is, let me get this from the specific... It was a Wall Street Journal article. It says, Hasbro hopes the reorganization will allow it to replicate Wizards of the Coast success in digital games and licensing in other parts of the company and boost other properties like G.I. Joe, Ouija, or Ouija, I guess, and Transformers, according to the person familiar with the matter. According to Hasbro chief executive Brian Goldner, the Wizards unit is on track to double revenue from 2018 to 2023. So something that does worry me about this is they're saying like, look, we turned this stuff digital and it popped off. Like it went ham. Look at D&D and how well it's doing. Look at how well Magic is doing. Let's put them in charge of like making G.I. Joe and Transformers digital. And I just like don't really see the same.
It feels weird to me in a world with Blizzard. Okay. In a world with Riot, seeing what has happened with Arena as a true success doesn't feel right to me, right? Like, it almost feels like I love Arena. I'm not complaining about it, but it feels like the digital part of Magic has been successful because the game is so good, not because of the move. And I'm not trying to diss anybody, but not because of the moves they've made, just because of inherently how great the game is. You're not coming to Transformers. You're not coming to G.I. Joe with any of that. And that's a pretty scary spot to be in if I'm the people working on that stuff.
Yeah, I would be worried about saying something like, you know what, D&D makes a lot of sense to turn into a digital thing. Like for those who don't know, D&D Beyond is a Wizard property. And it's a website where you can basically buy piecemeal, actually, which is really cool, all sorts of D&D stuff. So you can buy, like, this is where we host our campaign, for example. And we have...
It looks amazing, by the way. I think it's actually you, Gabby, who, like, tweet out the screenshots.
Yeah.
It is, like, next level. It looks so amazing.
A lot of that is Luis, to be honest. Like, Luis is actually crushing it and doing a really good job with just making our campaign look awesome. But, you know, we have been buying stuff from Wizards, like, ad nauseum. We're just like, ship it, because we're buying everything from D&D Beyond. And it makes sense. We've got this campaign that we're running. It's quarantine. We're running it like twice a week. But
You guys are running your campaign twice a week?
Ish. It's, you know, last week was once. On good weeks, we'll do twice a week. We'll do usually like one weeknight evening and then once during the weekend. And we've loved it. I mean, like, our campaign is up to level 11, I think. Because we've just been jamming. What else are we doing? We're in quarantine and not doing anything else. And this is a fun way to hang out with our friends. But I just don't see them replicating that same level of success with Ouija. Like, what are they going to do? The whole point of playing Ouija is, like, to think that there's a ghost.
Do we have to have our hands on the mouse together?
Yeah, it's like, okay, lift your hand from the mouse.
It doesn't make any sense to me either.
I don't know. I have a hard time seeing... Like, I understand why they see this and they're like, wow, Wizards is crushing it. Look at how well they did digitalizing their, you know, paper game and their, like, not paper game, but, like, story type adventure. And why don't we have them do this for every Hasbro property? And it's just, it doesn't translate the same way to me. And that would be my biggest concern. Like, I would be worried that they think that this is a hammer and everything's a nail, like, yeah, let's digitalize everything, and it's just not gonna work out like that.
And I mean, for those who aren't familiar with Gabby's history, like, you obviously have a master's in business, but you were in a business that saw kind of the change in, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of the change in how news was delivered, kind of at that peak when newspapers have gone through such a huge transformation just in our lives, from paper to websites to, like, viral hits, like, boom, 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 this is how we deliver information now. And I wonder if someone is sitting at Hasbro going, you know, these guys at Wizards of the Coast, they took, you know, basically an analog game, paper game, old school game. They put it online and it's blowing up. They modernized it. They brought it to the next generation. They brought it to the next era. That's what we need for our other IPs. Because we see things like Transformers is kind of floundering. It's a great IP, but it's floundering. What's G.I. Joe doing? I mean, they both of these had movies, but where are they at now? You know, and what's going on with these IPs? Maybe they're just looking at that like, we think Wizards has some secret sauce for how to modernize these things, how to introduce maybe some of these older, more archaic ways that we have produced things for our IPs, and they can modernize, bring it into the new world. And I get worried because, again, what Wizards has is the best game in the world, and you can dress it up however you want, and it's still just the best game in the world, and that's going to be successful.
I totally agree, like 100%. You said it exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's the thing that worries me about this direction, is there is no secret sauce. You know what the secret sauce is? Wizards made two IPs that are just, like, incredible. They made a tabletop game that is, I think, the best tabletop game. They made a game that has seen a resurgence for a variety of reasons, being in quarantine at home, Stranger Things really, like, putting it back front and center. And those things work out so that I think Magic popped, or, like, Wizards popped off last year, and they're like, well, why don't we have them do the same thing for our other IPs? And that's just not, like, I just don't. The examples that they give, if they gave me other examples, maybe I could maybe see them. Like, why don't we have Wizards create a card game for My Little Pony or something? I'd be like, okay, all right, I can see that. Yeah, let's...
I'm into it.
That makes sense. Yeah. But this whole, like, idea of digitalizing G.I. Joe and Ouija and Transformers, I'm just like, I just don't see it, man.
What scares me about a lot of this stuff with Wizards, and I don't mean to bag on them. There's great. I mean, I have so many friends who work there, and they're amazing, and they're super passionate. the direction of the company always concerns me, where it's like they're developing in what, an MMO or what is it, that massive RPG?
Yeah, there's an MMO, but it's not being made by Wizards. That's being licensed.
Right. They've put their resources into that. And it's like, guys, gals, people, that was 5-10 years ago. Where is the auto battler? Where is now? I don't know if you saw this at BlizzCon. I thought about you because I know you play Slay the Spire. There's a Slay the Spire Hearthstone mod.
Oh my God. They're going to make
Slay the Spire. And like, these are the things that I look at. I'm like, this is what Blizzard is doing. This is what they're announcing at BlizzCon. And we're 10 years in the past making an MMO when it's so easy for us to have an auto battler. It's so easy for us to have us. I mean, can you imagine a Magic IP Slay the Spire? What the heck?
To this date, I think the biggest missed opportunity is the Magic auto battler. It just lends itself so perfectly to it. I cannot believe it doesn't exist.
And it's like, but instead they want to go outside the wheelhouse with this MMO and use the IP like that. Like, you can do both. You're licensing out, but these are the people you're handing your IP to, saying, hey, make it modern, bring it into the new age. And they're doing it for like 5 or 10 years ago. There's no excuse for not having an auto battler by now.
Yeah. Or like, an MMO. I don't even know how that MMO stuff is doing. I think I'm in the beta and I got a thing saying that I could like join and play. I'm highly skeptical of it. I don't know.
Dennis played it a little bit.
How do you like it?
He said it was fine. He's like, oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It's like, I don't know that I would spend hours and hours on it, but it's fine. And I mean, just the crossover with being able to have an auto battler or a Slay the Spire type game using the Magic IP, that seems to be like where the audience is at. Why aren't you building that? Why isn't that where the focus is? That's what concerns me about.
Yeah. Some part of me also wishes that I would see more modernization, like of other ways of using magic. Cause I feel like the majority of ways that I've seen the Magic IP used outside of playing the actual games of magic has just left a lot to be desired. There's been a couple of mobile games that I've played a bunch of them. They're all so medium. There was like the Bejeweled version of it. That game was not good. There was the one that was supposed to be like Clash of Clans. That game was not good. In fact, they've retired both of them, I believe.
Yep. Everything's gone now.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, bring Arena to iOS, which they're going to do. But I don't understand. I think sometimes there's this idea of wanting to be so much more different, not wanting the incremental, like when auto battler, that's kind of adjacent to where we are, or a Slay the Spire type game, that's kind of still adjacent to where we are as a card game, and we want to do something massively different like an MMO. And I understand maybe some of the appeal to that, but I also, like I said, I think you've got to go where your audience is. You got to go with what's popular. There's nothing wrong with that, especially when you're just like hand in glove doing it. And I get that maybe you don't want to be following Blizzard, but honestly, why not? They followed you. Hearthstone is just, they copied Magic and they made Hearthstone.
Hearthstone was just like a kiddie version of Magic, and it made it easier and made it a lot more accessible and made a better client for it. And it just like
exploded.
Skyrocketed. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, great. Then they made auto battlers, or I guess it was TFT was the first one I knew about.
I think,
or auto chess was the first
Underlords, I think, was the first auto chess, because it was called auto chess. It didn't even have a name. It was just called auto chess. Then it became Underlords. And then there's been like TFT, then the Hearthstone. And those are a little different because those are actual like characters that attack each other. And you don't actually see, like, you kind of know if I have three knights, they have a bonus. Or if I have three elves, they have a bonus, or four elves or whatever. In Hearthstone Battlegrounds, you actually have stats. So you have my 4-5 is attacking randomly into one of their creatures.
Right. However it lines up or whatever.
However it lines up, it's random. There's things that change it, but like sometimes you'll just have a 1-1 attack into a 4-4 and you don't get to control that.
Oops.
Yeah. And it's like, whoops. Oh, well.
That's the auto part, I guess.
Yeah, that is the auto part of it. But it works like, basically Blizzard was able to transform it into a way that these auto battlers work perfectly with cards that they made themselves. And they did something so smart. They grabbed all cards from Hearthstone and didn't make a single change. Like, there were actual cards in the first iteration of Battlegrounds that had text that was just flavor text, because the text didn't do anything in the context of Hearthstone Battlegrounds fight. Like some of the cards had charge, which lets them attack first, which doesn't matter for this. But then once they realized that people loved Hearthstone Battlegrounds, they started making cards that were specific for this. They made all the cool heroes. They made cards that, like, you buy this card and it gives you 3 gold. And when you sell it, it gives you 3 gold. Like, they are designing for it, like, new sets and mini expansions and stuff like that. And people love them.
And then, and this is what you need to do, right? When you launch it, you do want to keep the original cards because you want that instant communication. I need to be able to see that and go, Raging Goblin, I know what that is, even if haste doesn't matter. Or, you know, Vampire Nighthawk, I know what that is, even if lifelink doesn't matter. Maybe lifelink would matter in this case, but whatever. Or Death Touch, you know, these things actually probably would matter. But that instant communication as you're deploying a new game and I already know what the cards do is important. But what both of these would do, a Slay the Spire type thing or a Battlegrounds type thing, is it really gives Wizards, and this is what blows my mind, it gives them the opportunity to be a true esport, to do exactly what you're talking about right now, Gabby, which is to say, hey, Magic crowd, we build Magic for you. We put it on Arena. That's a paper product you can play. But the auto battlers, the Slay the Spire stuff, that's digital only. And no one would have a problem with it. Like, yeah, of course it's digital.
Yeah, of course it's digital only. What are you going to do? Like, roll a dice and be like, all right, let me see where my my second creature is going to attack. Roll a dice. Six. Okay, let me attack your sixth creature. All right, you roll a dice. That never happened.
So build your esports there. Build it. And then cross it over. Like, I don't know. To me, it's just, I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
No, me too. I too felt like somewhat frustrated because even though I think this is a huge opportunity for Wizards, I just seeing the announcement was like, this kind of feels like we're just going to try, you know, distributing the secret sauce to everything else. But the secret sauce was really that D&D and Magic are great and that they know how to write awesome stories for D&D and balance the game, you know, and they really know how to do that for Magic as well. And I don't think that necessarily translates to G.I. Joe or Ouija or like Transformers. And
I will...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I will say, kind of tying back to our first topic with the expanded universe stuff, somebody has figured that out, right? Somebody has figured out, you know what we can do is just make Magic for Lord of the Rings, and Magic is so great, that's going to be a good product. Mm-hmm. So someone somewhere in the building is like, stop trying to, like, why do we have to reinvent the wheel with a new game every time? Let's just take these popular IPs and plug it into what we know works, which is Magic.
And something that we know how to do, like, excellent.
Really, really well.
We know how to R&D. Do this excellent.
Yeah. And so that's great. Someone gets it. And, you know, I think that that's important to recognize. But yes, there are we talked about this beforehand, Gabby, without going into too many details. Sometimes it does feel like not you and I, but just the greater community. We're just looking at reasons to get our pitchforks out against Wizards. And so sometimes I feel when I rant like this, like that's where I'm at with it. But there are frustrating things. And, it's hard. It's hard to. We never know what's going on with what's going across the decision makers' desks and what the 5-year plan is for Wizards of the Coast. Like, right. I don't know that.
I think we look at the situation and properly highlight the things that are exciting and maybe some things that we have concerns about. Some people just like hated it from the get-go. Like they were never going to. Yeah. Actually, let me shout this out because this is perfect on this topic and this can be what we wrap up with. Basically, if you follow the Channel Fireball Twitter account, you may have seen that they send a fact or fiction once a week. Those are actually written by me. And they go on the CFB newsletter. And so they go on the Thursday newsletter. And basically, we tweet out a poll. People get to answer however they want. And then I will do my version of the take that goes out on the Thursday newsletter. So the one for last week was fact or fiction. I'm personally excited about Universes Beyond announcement. Parentheses, MTG sets based on Lord of the Rings, Warhammer 40K, and more. And there were 766 votes. 46.7% was fact, and 53.3% was fiction. So over half the people who voted on this poll are not excited at all about the Lord of the Rings, Warhammer 40K stuff, and more. And that, just even as an acid test, that's so many people who were like not into the announcement, where it's like, hey, if this doesn't come at the cost of the other sets that you're going to play, like, not even, the question doesn't even ask, are you excited about Lord of the Rings and Warhammer specifically? It's like, are you excited about Universes Beyond this announcement? Like, just the announcement in general. And people are still like, nah.
That blew my mind. When you shot that over to me, you slacked that over to me before we went live. And I was like, I thought it was going to be close, but, you know, in the fact portion of it, I was like, I cannot believe
it. Yeah, it was just a bunch of people saying fiction. No, I hate this. But well, shout out if you're not subscribed to the CFP newsletter. It's really cool. There's a bunch of people writing awesome content for it. And there's Factor Fictions on Thursdays if that's the sort of thing that floats your boat.
And you should vote. It is cool because especially the better ones, Gabby, honestly, are when you're kind of on the other side of the poll. When everybody's voted one way and you feel the other way, yeah. That's way more. I mean, it's great stuff either way. You guys, CFB Extra, I mean, I'm not even trying to be a shill here. Just get the newsletter. You know, you don't need to buy anything. It's free. Just get the newsletter. And there's just so much cool stuff. We've got a lot of great content from Lords, from Shivam, from you. So I actually look forward to seeing it in my inbox. And, you know, confidentially, I never used to read the Channel Fireball newsletter. I've never read it. I get it, but okay, yeah.
Don't let Eric hear you say that.
Sorry, Eric. Sorry, but this I do read, and it is, you know, hand on heart, it is worth checking out and reading. I do believe that. So, all right, Gabby, that's it for this month.
It is indeed. Wow. Our next check-in will be in April. Oh my God, it's going to be April then.
Yeah, can you believe it?
No, not really.
It's been a year of COVID, by the way.
I know. We just hit the year anniversary from when lockdown started. I couldn't believe it.
It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to express it.
I'm just off it.
I am ready to just, I went on a hike and it's a weird thing where like I'm on a hike in an open space and some people don't have masks on. I'm just like, ooh, what's going on here?
Yeah. Ooh.
It's like, I'm masked up. Yeah. I'm like, I get we're outdoors and like they have it pulled down. It's like, why do you even have it? You know? And I wonder if I'm ever just not going to feel that way again. You know what I mean? It's
probably not, or for a really long time, you will feel that way. I think
it's going to take a while. So, well, happy 1 year anniversary. We've gotten through it.
Yeah. High five.
Yes. But no, so many exciting things coming. We've got, you know, I am excited for Time Spiral Remastered. That's coming out soon. I am very, 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 I mean, we didn't even talk about Strixhaven and the colleges.
Yeah, that looks hype. I mean, hype. When we get closer to Strixhaven, we're going to be able to do a big like lowdown of like, hey, what's going on in the set? So that's going to be sweet.
And I mean, again, I have so many mixed feelings. I don't have mixed feelings on J.K. Rowling, but I have mixed feelings on Harry Potter as an IP. I'm very firmly not in the, I'm not happy with J.K. Rowling at all. But I loved Harry Potter, and I know you did too. And so it's interesting, without getting into Harry Potter stuff, just seeing the callbacks with Strixhaven, it does make me excited.
Yeah, me too. When I saw the little previews, I was like, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm ready for it, right? Like, what college are you?
I'm like,
you
know, I want to get sorted.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of fun with that. I look forward to that. So that's it for this month. As I said, we will be back next month. I am Mashi Scanlon at Mashi Scanlon across all social media platforms. She, of course, is Gabby Spartz at Gabby Spartz. You can find her at twitch.tv/Gabby Spartz. You can find us on channelfireball.com or the YouTube page. There's a video component here. And so you can hang out and watch us as you listen. If you're listening to the podcast, please hit subscribe. We are on social media at Magic FM Podcast. And boy, I think I covered everything there. Don't forget
you nailed it.
If you go to channelfireball.com, use our code MAGICFM. We appreciate that. That supports this podcast and all of Gabby's great, great content. So until next month, everyone, as always, remember, be wonderful to yourselves and be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.